August the 19th, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waqif Uddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open up with a short dua, and we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Samuel 11:14-18. David had General Kill front line. She played on Bathsheba. So it says that they are entitled. Yes, permitted them. And people that is being spoken to are those who God is really not pleased with. And he is cautioning them that you are taking too much and you are asking for too much. In words, it says, these are my words, but nevertheless, giving you the right understanding and picture for this particular problem that we are looking at right now. God permit them the sheep. They are not called sheep. They are called by another name. I don't know if they know, but God has blessed me. God has blessed me to know that this same sheep has reference in previous scriptures. The prophet David in the Bible was questioned and condemned for having plenty of sheep. Then he went out after another sheep, Bathsheba. He has plenty of sheep. Now he goes out and deceives Bathsheba's man. This is one of David's generals, and David sees her in the shower from his palace, and he falls in desire for her. I won't say love. Now he wants her so bad, he sends the general out that she was likened to the front line or to the front of the war to get him killed, and did get him killed. Now, you know, the Quran does not have these kinds of ugly things associated with prophets or charged to prophets, but this is in the Bible. So when the general is dead, he takes Bathsheba. He becomes his woman, and is God rebuking him? Bathsheba is called a sheep. He gives a parable of a man having plenty of sheep and his friend having but one. And he goes out and plots the murder of his friend to get his friend's sheep. This is in the Bible. So this permission to have your sheep is a correction and a completion on that problem. The Quran addresses previous problems. So we are entitled to your sheep, but your sheep, not somebody else's sheep. God is saying you are entitled, but to your sheep, not to some sheep that is not yours. But they will say, any sheep in our name of Muslim, is our sheep. Was not David general, and was not Bathsheba his general's woman? So she was then in his same society, wasn't she? Bathsheba formed outside David's people. At that time, she was in his society. But how did she get in his society? She was from outside of his society, and now she has become the wife of the general and his society. That is how she came into the society, right? You following me? So for him, we don't care if we are in Islam. Where did we come from? We came from outside of Islam and was brought into Islam. We came from outside of their name and language and religion, and we were brought inside by one of theirs. In the event, General Mr. W.D. Farrar. And here they are, David, back home, wanting to take us from Mr. Farrar. And they are happy to see me kill Mr. Farrar as God amongst us. So they are happy to see me kill Mr. Farrar. But they are going to reap the spoils of the war. And they are going to get the fruit of the labor. Well, we have news for them. There is no sheep. There never was any sheep. We were donkeys. And we have seen an angel with a flaming sword. And we are not donkeys anymore. We are speaking back with a man's voice. We are telling Baal to get off our back. So just be aware that you, brothers, who don't know what I know, cannot protect this community. You can't guide this community. You must take a stick and whip your own behind until you get yourself to obey the leadership and guidance that God has blessed us with. Deviant mind can't distinguish between harm and good. The Quran, Surah 38, ayat 56 to 57. Hell, extreme, hot, cold. The Quran, Surah 101, ayat 1 to 3, what is the noise? The Quran, Surah 27, ayat 4, made their evil deeds fair seeming. So we are created to know. We are created to know the difference between. We are created to know the difference between harm and help. We realize this thing is hurting me or harming me, so this thing is helping me. All of us are created with that common sense to know that. But the intellect or the rational mind can pursue something to the extent that its own nature, the nature of the mind, changes, and it no longer can distinguish between help, harm and help. So Muslim world leaders have become misguided, fixated. It no longer can distinguish between disease and health. It no longer can distinguish between evil and good. It reaches that extent by pursuing something that is against its own human nature. If the thing that is pursued is against its own human nature and it will eventually take it out of its human nature, and you will then perceive evil as good, you will perceive hate as love, you will perceive sickness as health, you will perceive stupidity as wisdom, etc. So this is what has happened to much of the leadership of the Muslim world. So the Muslim world leadership has become fixated. They are just compelled to dwell on the ugly West, the ugly West, the cruel West, and dwelling on that generation after generation has taken them out of their human nature. Now, when they read the Quran, it does not guide them except deeper and deeper into their deviation, more and more into their deformities. Hellfire twists the subject out of their form. Hell, extreme, hot, cold. So the fires of hell are so severe that it twists things out of form. On some things, hell has the effect of freezing them to a certain extent, that it breaks up the body. So this is the Quran. And I can go on and on and on describing to you what the Quran says happened to you when you continue to go astray from the beautiful creature Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you to be. In concluding this part of the khutbah, I want to say to you that if you understand your religion, and if you accept the way I have presented it to you, you understand your religion. If you understand your religion, you are in a very, very excellent condition to go after the best life for yourself without frightening others, people, and making them think and making them fear that what you are after is going to take their good life from them. So if you go as I have shown you with the light of the Quran and Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, you are going to be successful anywhere you live, in any nation, even with those who oppress. What I have shown you is the light of El-Islam. And the light of El-Islam is also the light of wisdom. You will have the wisdom to survive even the environment of the oppressor. You will not be shamed by the learned. I don't care where they come from or what their religion is. If you keep the mind that I presented to you, that is the Muslim mind, with El-Islam illuminating it, you are in the best light. And you are situated for the best future on this earth now and after. Return, wrath, not the term God. The Quran, Surah 89, Ayah 27, return to your Lord pleasing and plead. Dear believers, there is a verse in the Quran that I mentioned on the Larry King Show, and this verse tells us everything we need to know. Yes, it does, to situate our life to go forward and achieve what we have been created to achieve. If we would just accept it, what this verse says, this one portion of the ayat, it says, O soul at rest, mutmanina. Mutmanina is the Arabic term, O soul at rest, at peace. That's what it means. Find peace. Return to your Lord, return to God. But why didn't it just say, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It says, return to your wrath, the Lord, because that attribute of God has you recognize God as one who has created you from growth, after growth, until you reach fulfillment or completion. He has been all the time right there with you, though you didn't know it, waiting for you to earn his special help to keep you going from one progress to another progress, or from one phrase in the road of your progression to another, so that you get to that end goal, complete as God wants you to be. That's what it means by Rab, Lord. Return to your Lord. How? Pleasing, radiyan, pleasing him. That means you have been making an effort in your life to please the best. And certainly, the best is God, isn't it? But even if you do not know God, if you would just do what Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, did before God revealed anything to him, and that is not to deviate at all from the efforts to please the best in your own nature, created by God. God is really the salvation. If we would know God, then we will fulfill our life. The life becomes complete. So this means that the believer has been striving to please his Lord. In Quranic Arabic, it is radiyatin, madiyatin. Radiyatin, madiyatin. Both of these words are from the same root word. The one is a verb in the active present tense and future tense. The believer is striving to please his God. So this has portion that he took in life. And he will keep striving to please his Lord. Because you have been striving to please your God, you are pleasing to yourself. Radayatin madiyatin means pleasing to your God and self-please. So what is this saying to us? And what does God say? Fakuli fi ibadi. Fakulu, fakuli fi ibadi. Enter you amongst my workers, my servants. And it also means enter you amongst my worshippers, amongst my servants. Then it says, wakuli jinati. Wakuli jinati. And therefore enter you my garden of paradise. Now, Jannati, God's garden of paradise, what is God's garden of paradise? A garden is something that needs cultivating. A garden suggests that care is given it, and it is developed, it is cultivated, and it has been made beautiful because of the work on it, or the work for it. To keep it like, you have to continue the work. He says, enter you amongst my workers. It is a garden. It is God's garden, and in the Hadith Qudsi collection, which means God inspired, this is the prophet, paths and the peace be upon him. Qudsi means holy, and it is believed that God inspired Muhammad, paths and the peace be upon him, to say those things. They were not just ordinary conversations of Muhammad, paths and the peace be upon him. I believe this is one of them, Hadith Qudsi. Land you cannot plot. He said there is a piece of land that no one is to come into it with their plow to plow it or to work in it. It is reserved exclusively for God. So that is the sanctuary of the human spirit and soul. That is supposed to know right from wrong. In fact, it always knew right from wrong. That sanctuary of the human spirit and soul, God says that it is for him to plow or to cultivate only. So you may not know how to solve the problem of the world like Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He was a complete human being, but he did not know how to solve the problem of the world, not even the problem of the peninsula called Arabia now. It took the second portion of God's mercy, revelation from himself, communication, guidance, knowledge, teaching from himself to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to situate Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to lead the people into that beautiful community life, without problems that man will have without the guidance of God. First and second mercy of God. God says, O soul at rest, who have found peace? Return to your Lord pleasing and pleased. If you strive to the best that is in you, when you get help from God, and you keep that, don't stop that. The religion is to continue that. The religion is to complement that. The religion is to give that additional help, not to go against it. That's why it says, pattern on that which the human society has been patterned upon. You don't reject the first mercy. If you do, then you have nothing to put the second mercy upon. You have to pattern adjust the next mercy too. the next mercy has to be patterned or fitted in, adjusted to the first mercy. You see now how people have bad Islam and good Islam, human Islam and dynamic Islam, demon Islam. You see how they can have that when they don't pattern it to the best of the human nature that God created? Everything is lost. So if you just remember that God is saying to you, I created you with a nature to go after the best that is the best. And if you do that, if you go after the best when you get God's help, you are going to please me. And you are also going to be pleasing to yourself. So what is the requirement for me having my own life satisfying me where I will be pleased with it or satisfied? I have given it to you plainly, into you my paradise. But look at the language. Jinnati is the garden of man's own spiritual creation. Wakuli jinnati, the same sound that I make when I say my garden, meaning God's garden. If I say my garden of paradise, I say the same word, jinnati. But when the proposition goes before garden in Arabic grammar, it changes jinnatun to jinnati. And the jinnati is a high, is the hint that man, you are only entering your own garden. It is the garden of your own spiritual creation. Allahu Akbar. So we have been blessed, not just in Ramadan. We have been blessed all along the road of our trials and tribulations, our hits and misses. But the road of our good intentions, we have been blessed. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 5, Allah wants servants he creates. Well, then how did we get here, we may say? He said that whenever he wants one of us, he creates us. He is our creator, and I don't think that the concept is really different from the concept in Judaism or in Christianity. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 6, three veils darkness. He makes you in the womb of your mother in stages, one after another, in three veils of darkness. So let's get back to what we are talking about. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that we can come out of triple darkness. A physical world is a womb, and we know that. It is the physical world that blocks out light. So we know that all darkness is a shadow of something physical. So we know that, all right, we come out of the physical womb, which is darkness, and it is physical darkness. We come out of this, but we are the same germ that existed in its origin. But we are not permitted to know just how the womb was or just how we were formed in it. So we are not permitted to know that. We are just permitted to come out of it. As we come out of it, we are permitted to gradually grow into wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of it, not to go back and see how it was made, but to improve upon what we have found. Isn't that a wonderful God? He doesn't want us backing up. It takes too long to back up in time to the beginning and spend our time looking at what was done in the beginning. He did it rightly. He did what he had to do. He did his job well. We don't have to back up in time and review what he did. That will hold us up. He wants us to take over from here and keep going. So he won't even let us see what he was doing, knowing that we are weaklings to begin with. I want to connect myself with the voice, that I hear speaking behind the sunlight. I want to connect myself with a voice that I hear speaking behind the ocean waves, behind the trembling of the earth, behind the falling of rain, behind the accumulation of the ice, behind the coming of winter, summer, spring, and fall. I sense these are something speaking to me behind these things that I am akin to, but trillions and trillions and trillions of years of separation have made me dull to the understanding the language of my origin. So we rise above the matter with new matter. The birth of the original man into the physical creation, and then another birth of the original man out of the physical creation tells us something. We were brought out of triple darkness. The first was darkness. The second darkness was darkness. So one of those darknesses is the material or physical creation. So we come out of it. Every man is born out of this physical world, womb of darkness, with no knowledge of the womb. Come here, and the head is large and heavy. Sometimes it takes 2-3 months. Before it can lift the head up. A physical world is a wound and it blocks out light. All darkness is a shadow of something physical. So we come out of the womb with a darkness, but we are the same germ that exists in its origin. But we are not permitted to know just how the womb was and how we are formed in it. We are permitted to come out of it. Then we are permitted to grow in knowledge of it, not to go back to see how it was made, but to improve upon what we have found. So this world is akin to me. My flesh feeds upon it. My flesh is another form of this earth. I discovered I am a creature superior to the food that I eat. I have a hunger for more than beans, rice, meat, etc. Have a hunger for connection, for reunion. I want to connect myself with a voice that I hear speaking behind the sunlight, ocean, falling rain. I sense there is something speaking to me behind these things, akin to me. But trillions of years of separation have made me dull to understand the language of my origin. So we rise above the matter with new matter. We rise and stand over common matter and walk on earth like a ruler. He failed to come alive to his being, that he is not just simply matter. He is not the creation, earth, not subject to, not limited to creation, but create the rules. Expand, extend, explore creation as a man opening up a gigantic book. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayah 28, death, resurrection as a single soul. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 6, three veils, darkness created in womb. Bukhari, page 4. 439, page 6, 478. Muhammad, cave, 3 squeezes. Nathaniel 13:15, tread wine press. Matthew 20:40, as Jonah in the well 3 days, so Jesus earth. As Jonah was in the fish 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Social potential, heat of the earth. Social potential, he shall be in the social potential. He shall be a germ, a potent germ, in the social potential. He will be dormant in the body of mankind. But when the right thing happens, in the environment, that dormant life shall become restless. It's going to be bored with its state. And it's going to become active and is going to rise up from the heart of the earth. A picture of that is practically every prophet. But we are going to look at Muhammad the prophet, peace be upon him. Muhammad paved three squeezes, three veils of darkness. The social potential in Muhammad was oppressed. His environment oppressed his social potential. And it got so painful to him that he had to leave his environment and go to the cave in seclusion and strain to get revelation or some kind of help from whatever God was responsible for his being and the creation. And in time, he was pressed three times, right? She's the Latin, three veils of darkness. He was pressed three times. The third time, he received the light, communication. He began to read revelation. Jesus, a sign of God. Muhammad, clear word of God. So where was he before he received revelation, before he began to be revealed? Where was he? Understand that he was the word, too, living, demonstrating, communicating clearly, rationally to us in the world, not by signs like Jesus. He's not the word communicating by signs like Jesus. He is the word communicating with clear rational language in the world. He's the second promise of Jesus. He's the second Jesus. Now, don't go and tell somebody that the imam said he's Jesus. You'll be lying and you'll be wrong. I didn't say he was Jesus. I'm talking in the language of signs, fulfilling signs, okay? And I distinguish between him and Jesus. I just said that Jesus was the word communicating to us by signs, and Muhammad is the word communicating to us with clear rational language. So the second coming of Jesus is not the return of that Jesus. That's why it says, I go away and you see me no more. The real me, this me that you're identifying, is never coming back again. But at the same time, the same that produced me is going to happen again. And nevertheless, you shall see me. Not this one, but you shall see the word in Muhammad. Yes, I heard somebody say, as plain as day. That's right. Now, I thank Allah, and I thank Allah for being put amongst you all. Because if I hadn't been put amongst you all, I wouldn't have had that heavy burden on my potential. And it says, he shall come treading the winepress alone. But who provided the winepress? Somebody, praise be to Allah. So Muhammad then was in the heart of the earth, wasn't he? His social potential was suppressed, oppressed, in the heart of the earth. And the pressure on it made him rise up from the earth and go up in the mountain, go up in a cave in a mountain, seeking seclusion there so he could perhaps have privacy with the one that was responsible for his existence. And God came to him. Yes, God came to him and began to address his needs. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayah 28, death, resurrection as single soul. And Muhammad, in addressing his needs, he was addressing the need of all mankind on this earth. Oh, yes, it says, the life and the resurrection is as one soul, or death, pardon me, and resurrection is as one soul, nafs in wahida. Nafs in wahida. So that is repeated over and over again in history. But now we see it in Muhammad. His life, actually with death, was his refusing to have his life and character molded by the world. Cave equals skull. And the cave means dead. The mind is dead. The mind refused to have any light of its own. The cave really is a picture of a skull. They don't want to tell you the skull is kind of horrifying. They don't tell you he went into a skull, into a human skull, but that's what the cave really means. The wise will tell you the cave is the cave of man's skull. It means he emptied out all of his brain. So Uswa, all the life of his own mind, he emptied it out until there was nothing left but the encasing for that light. In other words, he sacrificed himself to receive the light of God. The Word of God sacrificed himself completely so that he received the light of God. And in that cave, God came to him. And he created him from nothing. From nothing, right? So there was nothing in the cave. Not nothing in terms of a person. Nothing in terms of an enlightenment. There was nothing in terms of a brain that would become Muhammad's brain. There was nothing except the framework, except his uswa. His uswa is the framework, it's the container for what God is going to put into it. So God actually came to the cave himself. You see, that's what we have to understand. He went up into the cave of himself and he made the cave skull empty of all his appetites and influences and everything. And he became still, perfectly still, as a completely, totally dead mind or intellect. And he became non-existent, so to speak. Pleading to God, he made the best sajda. He went further than fetus in the womb. He went back further than dust. He became non-existent of any reality. As any reality, he was non-existent in his straining to understand perception, enlightenment, guidance for the intellect. And in the empty cave, God spoke to his non-existing body. He said, "Be." Kun Fayakun. And when he came down to the heaven, was a smoke, as smoke in commotion. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 6, made you from single soul. He made them of one entity, male and female, of one entity. That means he made them human. Then he causes them to become two and mate with each other and produce many men and women. Sexism none in religion. Male, female, soul, same. So we are a product of Adam, something called Adam, that is really naming nothing but our human, common human identity. The common human constitution that we all have is called Adam. God said, "This is human." That's all God is saying. I made you human, male and female. And from you come many children, all the world, and populated the world. So there is no need for that sexism in Islam or in religion. It shouldn't even have the issue of sexism in religion. We shouldn't have that. It's the ignorance of leaders in the religion that's letting the problem go on and on and on. The informed in religion, they should explain clearly what is meant by male and female and give what God says. God says that he has made us of one single entity. Believe me, some say, "Well, this man talks differently." No, listen to the thinkers now in Islam. They are thinking exactly as I'm thinking. The thinkers in Islam, thinking exactly as I am, banking amongst the scholars, talking exactly as I am talking. That means that man's soul is no different from human soul originally. Originally, the only thing that makes his so different is that he engaged in different things in a different situation, different environment, job, different environmental situation. For his indulgence, what he indulges in. But it is the same soul God gave the female. If she takes his practice and follow his masculine tradition and not in time, her soul will become just as his. Her soul will be influenced by the same circumstances, by the same work field or situation. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 6, 8 heads of cattle in pairs. Isaiah 51, 12, son of man as grass. So here we have four as symbolic of what is universal. And Quran also says, and he revealed four heads of cattle in pairs, right? So you double the pairs to become eight. That's why I said it wasn't all of it. It's something else. And he revealed four heads of cattle in pairs. So we have four for human universality. Human science in different forms, material science. We have four for the scientists. We have the universality of human life and nature. We have the universality of the world, knowledge, and nature. There's difference. The human being is on a higher plane, spiritually and on a higher plane mentally, than the rest of creation. So he revealed eight heads of cattle in pairs. He revealed the knowledge for human edification, human science, and he revealed the knowledge for material edification, physics, chemistry, all of these things. That's what it means. Mean the God of creation is the God of both reality, and therefore he is the teacher for both realities. And through Muhammad, we got that. And the proof of that, the world came into enlightenment and into progress. See, it's a dead stage. The first stage of life is roots. So an earth with a little stem so it can have sunlight, freedom, and then it takes another form. It develops branches, or it turns green, and it stands up. Some will bear flowers. Some will bear seeds. Some will bear fruit. So clearly, it's three stages, isn't it? Three main stages. So one is the anchor in the ground. The other one is forming outside of the ground. And the last one is providing for its continued life. The first gives you something nice to taste and everything. So the grass, is not there to show off. It's humble. This is not vain. It's simply straight up. Because it's not vain. It gives you the secret of its life, not in the ground. It's right there in your eyes. It's not enshrouded like the apple seed. You have to bite down into the apple to find the seed. Its life, as it expresses itself, shows you the secrets of its origin. So earth like carpet. So it is a sign of openness, honesty, and charity with knowledge, the knowledge of how life continues. Four heads of cattle in pairs. They eat grass. And if the grass is a servant of God, and the servant of God is giving up the secret of life, then what are they eating? they are eating knowledge. The cows are eating the particular knowledge. And those that eat that kind of knowledge with an awareness of it, they are sacred cows. So in the intellect, it is a cow. And the cow chews over it. It's trying to understand, taste, and digest, chews on it a lot. Cow just doesn't pick up something and swallow. It chews on it a lot. Then it got a second stomach. It puts in there and let it sit there a while in a place of rest. And then when the thought hits it, brings it back up, chew on it some more. Now that is, has been in that place of rest for a while. Maybe now I can find out what this is. Learn more about what this is. I have swallowed. So this is the activity of the intellect. The Quran Surah 39, Ayah 6. Three veils of darkness. The third step and stage in the development of the soul is characterized by efforts made to improve its own state of existence. To improve our state of existence, the ascendant nature, the nature to rise higher in the scale of human worth, to fulfill the need in your life to be satisfied with yourself. Be satisfied with yourself as a creature of great worth. The demand on us for self-esteem and merit in the society of good doers and the excellent people, we want inclusion. We want to be amongst them. We want them to accept us. And this is all of us, although some of us give up too soon. Some of us never give up. We never give up trying to be better our own condition and better our own mind and better our own condition so that we will be able to demand a place amongst the best people on this earth. And I believe that's what the Nation of Islam wanted for us, that we work hard, that we improve ourselves to qualify so we wouldn't have to beg somebody to accept us. But our worth would cause them to invite us amongst them, and they would be happy to include us. Thank God we have come there with the light of the Quran and the light of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, light. Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three stages, ascending spirit. So I repeat, the third step and stage in the development of the soul is characterized by efforts made to improve our state of existence. I believe this self is the ascending self, the ascending soul or the ascending spirit. The Quran Surah 40, Ayah 7, mercy, knowledge overreaches all things. Muslim 65:18, education, seek Allah, makes path easy. So Al-Islam is a religion of peace. In many ways, we are promoting Al-Islam if we are following and obeying our religion as we should be. And we can't do that without knowledge. Brothers and sisters, Muslims, remember that God said the knowledgeable people who learn and then share the knowledge with others, they will be in the new world that God will create, or what they call paradise, to come. They will be in the ranks next to the prophets themselves. And the same interest has been given to us in the saying of the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, who says, whoever goes out takes a path to seek knowledge for the benefit that it has, or that it is in, or that it is in it for others, has entered upon the path of God. That's a strong statement. And Allah Most High, God Himself, says to us in the Quran, and everything, skies, earth, everything, including our own selves, that God has incorporated, brought all of this together in a harmony, in a unity upon or through the knowledge and mercy. Knowledge is proposed is to bring relief to the society. Now, what is all this to say to us about knowledge and mercy? You can be cruel with knowledge. With knowledge, you can do cruel things, but God didn't intend knowledge to be used that way. The knowledge is to be used to bring relief to the society, to the human family. And you can be cruel with kindness, but God intended that our kindness be sincere, our kindness be unselfishness, our kindness be in accord with the will of God, who is all good and does not accept any bad or any wrong. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, surely God is good and does not accept any wrong or any bad. And to give more support to that description of God as a God of all good, God says to us in the Quran, do not put into your charity that which will shame you if it was disclosed to the people where you got it from. God is good and does not accept any but good, no bad things, no wrong things. Al-Islam is a religion of peace. Al-Islam wants us to have our goals on this earth, community establishment. And it could be said in another way, family establishment, but it's not our personal family. It's the family God made for all of us, the human family. Al-Islam wants us to have community life established for the human family, and at the same time, we are not encouraged to permit, even to impose it upon others. God asked of us that we be examples, that we be witnesses, witnessing what God wants according to our scripture that you received through Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, who received it from the archangel Jibril. So the Quran, Surah 40, Ayat 7, Allah embraced all in mercy and knowledge. A true religious community, there are people who don't want to see the Muslim with the image or reputation for being a true, legitimate religious community. They are enemies who come amongst the Muslim community who want to keep the public thinking that we are a people belonging to some weird cult. Their intentions are not really religion. Their intentions are troublemaking. They want the public to think that Muslims are some kind of undercover gang that wears a religious label. So these people really hate the presence of any good person. And knowing that this religion feeds the good side, the good nature, the good life of the human being, they work hard trying to keep Muslim minds confused. I often hear these people come up with their own saying behind a good one. The wrongdoers can't leave a good thing alone. If you say something that will establish good and influence good, they have to come behind it with a devilish way, with hits that suggest bad in order to kill the efforts of the good, the devil and his servant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has revealed everything in the Quran. Every issue is covered. The devil and his servant would like you to think this religion is preached just like a beautiful story. If you enjoy it like a beautiful piece of music or a beautiful story, then you are safe. But if you take this religion seriously, serious in all of its details, they want you to think that you are out of your mind. These are the whispers of the devil that want us to doubt what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established. Such evil persons say, don't trust the religion all the way. Use your own intelligence. You can't tell an average person in America to use his or her own intelligence in matters of religion. They have very little ability to use their own intelligence in matter of anything. Their life is proof that they can't make proper judgment. Now, why didn't these people encourage others to make judgment according to what God had said? Quran sent because your mind is terribly limited and that life is too big for you. Don't let your own mind cause you to doubt what God has said or cause you to go astray or do something different from what God has established. Follow Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. Obey and believe in him. Know that your mind is terribly limited and that life is too big for you. You need the divine word of God. And you need man that God accepts as a guidance for you to follow. That man is Prophet Muhammad. So we know that the form life takes, whether it is religious, business, cultural, or political, there is a context for it. Everything must exist with some context, within some boundaries. So we don't live or think everywhere. All of our activities are limited to contain boundaries. Knowledge, context for everything, it is identity. So God says that he has made for everything a knowledge context to give it a boundary and to give it an identity. When you leave that knowledge context, you come out of your boundaries and out of your identity. Useless, unless we see and understand this, we are in the dark. Knowledge of our own situation and what is required of us, and that situation is the light for us. We have an announcement. We have a special announcement tomorrow concerning Sister Claire Muhammad University. So we will give you the full details tomorrow, inshallah, it means if it please God. So stay tuned tomorrow at 7 p.m. And we will give you the information concerning the Sister Claire Muhammad School. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Marad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.